Postmortem, written by Patricia Cornwall and read by Lorelei King.
It was raining in Richmond on Friday, June 6. The relentless downpour, which began at dawn, beat the lilies to naked stalks, and blacktop and sidewalks were littered with leaves. There were small rivers in the streets, and newborn ponds on playing fields and lawns. I went to sleep to the sound of water drumming the slate roof, and was dreaming a terrible dream as night dissolved into the foggy first hours of Saturday morning. I saw a white face beyond the Rain Street glass, a face formless and inhuman like the faces of misshapen dolls made of nylon hose. My bedroom window was dark, when suddenly the face was there, an evil intelligence looking in. I woke up and stared blindly into the dark. I did not know what had awakened me until the telephone rang again. I found the receiver without fumbling.
Dr. Scarpetta?
Yes? I reached for the lamp and switched it on. It was 2:33 a.m. My heart was drilling through my ribs.
Pete Marino here. We got us one at 5602 Berkeley Avenue. Think you better come.
The victim's name, he went on to explain, was Lori Peterson, a white female, 30 years old. Her husband had found her body about half an hour earlier. Details were unnecessary. The moment I picked up the receiver and recognized Sergeant Marino's voice, I knew. Maybe I knew the instant the telephone rang. People who believe in werewolves are afraid of a full moon. I'd begun to dread the hours between midnight and 3 a.m., when Friday becomes Saturday and the city is unconscious. Ordinarily, the medical examiner on call is summoned to a death scene, but this wasn't ordinary. I had made it clear after the second case that no matter the hour, if there was another murder, I was to be called. Marino wasn't keen on the idea. Ever since I was appointed chief medical examiner for the Commonwealth of Virginia less than 2 years ago, he'd been difficult. I wasn't sure if he didn't like women or if he just didn't like me.
Berkeley's in Berkeley Downs, South Side, he said condescendingly. You know the way?
Confessing I didn't, I scribbled the directions on the notepad I always kept by the phone. I hung up, and my feet were already on the floor as adrenaline hit my nerves like espresso. The house was quiet. I grabbed my black medical bag, scuffed and worn from years of use. The night air was like a cool sauna, and there were no lights in the windows of my neighbors' houses. As I backed the Navy station wagon out of the drive, I looked at the light burning over the porch, at the first-story window leading into the guest bedroom, where my 10-year-old niece, Lucy, was asleep. This would be one more day in the child's life I would miss.